Philippians 9, verse 16. Now, I'd gone through this at the last, but in order to make everything fit and whatever, I'd like to go back to verse 16 instead of verse 19 and go from there because it fits. I started reading in verse 16, chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you bless all your children that are on the roads today and this weekend. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless every Sunday school class, every teacher, every student. I ask, dear Lord, that you will bless our teaching and preaching right in here in this auditorium. And I ask you, Lord, to take your word and fit the blessing to the need of each person here. I know you can do that. And I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak and teach as only you can give. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Just a thought there. Sometimes we glory in what we do. We glory in what we do. Now, Paul's making a very good statement. What I have to glory in? I'm a preacher? Yeah, I sometimes have suffered. I've been accused of a lot of things. I've been disliked. I've been insulted. I've been all those things. And I've done it myself. And the church will do it to you. But what have I got to glory in? God gave me the body. God gave me the breath and the lungs. He gave me the mind to understand it. He gave me the scriptures to put it in my hands. How can I glory? He gave me my salvation. He called me to be in the ministry. He's put up with me all these years. What I got to glory in? We need to glory in God. We need to glory in the gospel. It's the gospel that really turns people around. You know what happened to me? I got a hold of the gospel. The gospel got a hold of me. God came down into my mind and transformed it in one day. I was not a kid. I was a grown man. And yet, the change in my way of thinking. I don't understand how God does it, but I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing. He said, I preach the gospel. I preach the gospel because I have to. He said, necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, that's exactly the way I felt. I didn't know that verse. I did not know that verse. I simply knew I had to preach. Right from the start when I got saved. I had a cousin that about that year surrendered to preach, and I went and heard him preach his first sermon in a Methodist church in Ocala, Texas, up in central Texas. And I was living for the world.
And I sat in the back of that church and cried, cried, and cried while he preached. Because I knew he was doing what I ought to be doing. And I was lost. I don't ever remember when I didn't think I was called to preach the gospel. Now, I don't understand that. Had people tell me it can't be, well, it's the way it was to me. And that's my testimony, and I'm going to stick with it. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. Go find you a scripture. Necessity is laid upon me. Man, people need to hear the gospel. Well, what if they refuse it? What if they don't like it? What if it offends them? What if they kick you out of their fellowship? What if they don't invite you to their parties? They need the gospel. And they need preachers that have a thick skin that no matter what you do to them, they're going to come back. Like a Timex. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. That's what we need to be. Thick-skinned. I'm thick-skinned. That don't mean you can't hurt my feelings. I'll go home and cry and take a half a baby aspirin if you insult me. But you better get thick-skinned. If you're going to preach the gospel, you are going to get insulted. You are going to get abused because the devil doesn't like you. You know that? You make an enemy. So you're going to have a harder life. Your kids are going to have a harder life if you're a preacher of the gospel and you stand up for it. And bless your hearts. Let's pray for all our good preachers because most preachers aren't very good. You got a good one? You better back him. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me. How could I go meet God, him saving my soul freely? Him giving me this call, this ministry, this opportunity for blessing. How could I go and meet God when I have not done what he wanted me to do? Woe is unto me. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever said, I have to do this. If I don't, something bad's going to happen. Well, I think that's the truth. And I think some people's lives are messed up just because they're out of the will of God and they will not surrender to the will of God. Whether it's over money, whether it's over ministry, whether it's over people. We're such people, people. You know what people are? They're a mess. You didn't know that? Live with a few of them for a while. So here he says, I'm preaching the gospel, but I can't glory. I've got a necessity. In fact, if I don't preach the gospel, then bad things are going to happen. If I do preach it, I'll get a reward. But if I get to my will, why, dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. He's saying that if I do this willingly, that it's what I ought to do. And God's going to reward all those that serve him. You can't serve. You never beat God. You can never outgive God. You can never outserve God. And every day of your life is a gift from God. I don't care what you eat or other things like that or whatever. You get up in the morning, you ought to thank God because he gave you another day of life. Life is something nobody understands. These scientists do not understand life. They don't understand the mind or the soul. They're trying to think it's all in the brain or the heart and the blood. Well, it is, but when you're dead, you still got a heart and brain and blood, but you're not alive anymore. There's something about life that's a gift of God. And I marvel at it all the time. Now, I still have this work to do, even if I don't do it willingly. That's that dispensation there. He's given me this ministry. It's my work to do. And if I don't do it willingly, it's still the responsibility to do what God called me to do. Okay? Now look at verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. I love that. What an amazing thing. Now, you people give me offerings, and I thank you for them. I love them. I enjoy them. I spend them. I give them away. And I'm thankful for all the offerings. But most of my life, I've pretty well worked while I preached. And, you know, sometimes I had two jobs besides being a preacher just to keep my family fed. I haven't found most churches being really very generous. It's a shame. And I've seen preachers run from one church to another. There's some churches, a preacher lasts there 3 years. That's about the average. And then they say, we've heard all we want to hear from you. We want the time for you to leave. And they get rid of you. And that's the way it goes. What is my reward then? When I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. I think it's one of the most beautiful things in the world, what our missionaries have done. What we did. You preach the gospel and you don't ask them for their money. You don't pass Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets around 3 times within a meeting. I was in that meeting. An evangelist named Gene Ewing. I just wanted to see. So I got down close to the front. And he called all the God-called preachers to come up on the platform. Well, I know he's talking about Pentecostals, but I'm a God-called preacher, so I went up on the platform. I'm sitting there clapping right along with them, right behind the preacher. And they passed the buckets, and, oh, brethren, it's not enough. They passed the buckets again, sung another song, had this beautiful pianist play this thing. I mean, boy, she would knock you out. The way she looked and the way she played, both. And they passed the buckets again, and they passed them 3 times before they got through. You know what? That put a bad taste in my mouth. I bet it did a lot of other people. I'm not here. I've had people say, well, the reason why you do this is because we pay you to do it. You couldn't pay me to do this job. No. No. I'd rather sit out on my place and shoot squirrels. No, you couldn't pay me to do this job. I have hurt so many feelings and been hurt. I've abused people when I've done the wrong thing and I've been abused. You couldn't pay me to do this job. I don't like it that much. I love to preach. I don't necessarily like being a pastor. Brian knows something about that. Trinidad knows something about that. Billy knows something about that. And some of the others. Mike Pemberton knows something about that. I make the gospel without charge. You realize what a great thing it is? That's like going around and giving a winning lottery ticket to everybody you meet. And you don't get anything out of it, but they get something out of it. Now, probably a winning lottery ticket would ruin your life. And your kids. That's the truth. So, don't buy me any lottery tickets. I'm not a gambler anymore. I was most of my life, but when I got saved, I quit gambling. I don't even flip you for who buys the Cokes. I'll buy them. But, I don't like gambling. And I think it's a very dangerous thing. I think because it caught me. And it's caught a lot of people. They've got a Gamblers Anonymous, you know. So, be careful about some of these things. I got rid of cigarettes and gambling and cussing and drinking, but I didn't get rid of food. If I could have done that, I'd have been better off. But I don't guess I'd had but a 40-day ministry. Then it'd been all over. I make the gospel without charge. Does that hit your mind how glorious that is? I can make the gospel without charge. I can tell people I love them, God loves them. I can go to the prison on death row and I can preach the gospel. I can go down here to the jail tank, and I've been in all those places. And I can preach. In fact, they used to invite me in to preach. Now then, you got to have go through all sorts of garbage, and you got to be sure you're politically correct and make sure you don't say the wrong thing like that. You offend a Catholic or a Buddhist or something like that. Back in the old days when I started preaching, the jail guards said, come on in, here's a bunch of them, give it to them. And we did. And some of them got saved and stuff like that. I make the gospel without charge. How great is that? I think it's one of the greatest things you can possibly think about. I make the gospel without charge. I'm not out here. I am not a time server. I am not serving because you pay me money. I am not looking for somebody to get somebody in who has money. I'll preach to the poorest. I have preached to the poorest. I make the gospel without charge. Do you make the gospel without charge? These guys that go down on the streets, they make the gospel without charge. These ladies and men that go door to door and just leave tracts on the doors, they make the gospel without charge. They're not out there trying to get somebody to sign a pledge card. Our missionaries are not supported because we get you to sign a pledge card. You give what you want to give to whoever you want to give it to. And if they don't get supported, they come back and preach the gospel without charge. We pay their way so that the gospel goes out to the lost people without charge. It's a lovely thing. Now look at verse 19, and that was the last one I did last January. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now there's a principle here. It's probably almost out of the ministry by now, and it's probably almost out of most of the Christian churches by now. I make myself servant unto all. Now I'm a free man. Who are you stepping on my freedom? I'm a free man. I want my rights. This is definitely the generation of Laodicea where they want their rights. I am free from all men. This was a rich Roman citizen. He wasn't born in some slave family. He wasn't even born out on some farm somewhere. This guy has been educated at the best college of his day. He sat at the seat of Gamaliel. Somebody paid for that. Back in those days, there was no free schools. There were no free schools. America's got free schools. Around the world, they got some free schools now. But man, that's modern. That's the last couple of hundred years. His daddy or his mama paid for that. Somebody said, I bought my freedom with a great deal of money. He said, not me. I was born free. Well, that's the way I feel about being in the United States. Praise God, I was born free. I don't know where. I voted for the governor, but I don't know that he's the best fellow around. I'm not sure. But he made a statement a while back I thought was real good. He said, if you live in Texas, you ought to get out of your bed every morning, get on your knees, and thank God you were born in Texas. Or that you're in Texas. Because we've got a better economy than most any place in the United States right now. You got a lot of reason to be thankful. I'm sort of thankful we're in the Bible Belt. A lot of Bible preached all around. Some of it very poorly, but a lot of it's preached. Now, I'm free from all men. I've got my freedom, and with all of its errors and mistakes, I taught democracy for over 20 years. But democracy is not the best government. A kingdom is. In a democracy, a small group of citizens can sue the city and say, you can't put that highway through here, and hold it up for 10 years, and then the city finally gets it through, just like out here at our North Expressway. 10 years later, at a cost of a great deal, a king would have said, put it there, and it's there. So it's if you have the right king, a kingdom is a very efficient government. I've got the right king. His name is Jesus. And that's the government I'm looking forward to. But I don't know in this world that we have today, and in all the history I've studied past, where have the people got the most freedom, had the most opportunity, the most blessing? Democracy. I'm for democracy. I'm going to keep voting. Even if I vote for the wrong person, I'm going to keep voting. I'm free from all men. Praise God. Isn't that something? And then, what does this free man do? I have made myself servant to all. That's tremendous. Are you a servant? Are you Lord? Do you act like a servant or do you act like a Lord? I've been trying to get the Verlene to call me Lord Lindell for a long time. Bible tells her to. See that she reverence her husband like Sarah said to Abraham, Lord. So I've been trying to get her. I got her one time and I have a witness. Man, she was an original women's liver. You think I haven't had a hard fight? I've had a hard fight all my life. Don't you feel sorry for me? Boo. I made myself servant to all. Or can you even think like a servant? Most of us can't. Most of us can't think like a servant. I have made myself. In fact, we get all upset if somebody doesn't recognize something we do. Well, I did this for you. You think a servant would think that way? No. They just know it's supposed to be done. They don't expect any thanks. They expect to be fed, get a little time off maybe at night, but they work 7 days, 24. Servant? Are you a servant? Are you a servant to anyone? Are you even a servant to Christ? Oh, that hit me this week. Servant. Do you serve the other members of your family? Do you serve your wife? Do you serve your husband? Do you serve your children? Do you make sure that their interests are taken care of? Do you serve the church? Do you serve the Lord? Does the Lord have anything to do with your life? Are you a servant in any way? Or is it just, I'll accept the salvation insurance, praise God, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. I think that's most of Christianity. Excuse me, that's my opinion after being preaching 52 years. Going on 53. Next month, September 1st. I made myself servant and all. Now look what he says in verses 20, 21, and 20 to 23, really. Under the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that by all means save some. That I might by all means save some. He lists them down here. The Jews, to those that were under law, to those that were out from under the law, to those that were weak. And you notice his phrase every time? That I might gain. What's Paul's purpose? Gaining souls for Christ. That I might gain. There are a lot of mission projects that we don't support. And one reason is because most of them that we don't support are really not really evangelistic. We send out preaching missionaries that are out to establish churches. We don't really like to support. We have some support for other things like the rescue mission and things of that nature. And I know all those things do good. But look at what Paul's emphasis was, that I might gain them. I really think Billy Graham was called of God, blessed of God. I don't like everything he's done, and sometimes I've opposed him. I would not join his campaign if he came to town, but I'd pray for him every day. But I think he took this. Whether he did it right or wrong, we'll understand at the judgment seat of Christ. He says, I'm doing all things that by all means I might gain some. Okay, you Catholics, I want you Catholics to come with me. I'll tell you what, anybody gets converted, we'll send them back to the Catholic Church. Nah, boy, that hurts me. But he got the Catholics to come. You think those Catholics got saved? A bunch of them got saved. I remember I was on the mission field. I was in the house of a missionary who'd been there probably 10 years before I ever got there. And I had a great deal of respect for him. And I come out with my big mouth. You know, I'm a sarcastic rascal, and I'm a critic and a cynic and a whatever. And I come out of my mouth criticizing Billy Graham. He said, you know, I got saved in Billy Graham meeting. And then his wife said, yeah, I got saved in the Billy Graham meeting. Woo, did I stick my foot in my mouth. How are you going to knock that? And nobody's been able to control Billy Graham. He's an old man now, and he's not there. But he's got a boy that used to be a rebel named Franklin. Nobody's going to control him. He is something else. I've read several of his books. I've heard him speak. That boy, he come out of his rebelness and became a preacher. He's something else. But Billy Graham preached to more people in the world. Why? That I might gain some. He is not trying to start churches. He is not trying to help a denomination. The only purpose Billy Graham has had, it looks to me like, that I might gain them for Christ. To him, that's enough. After that, let somebody else take over and raise them up and teach them and train them. Now, I'm not saying I agree with that, but it certainly fits the scripture. I think this has been taken too far. I don't like it when they bring the rock bands in. That's just the regular rock bands to get them for a crowd. I really don't like it when they got a picture show to draw the crowd and then try to preach the gospel to them. There's a lot of things like that. Giving away a Bible to the person that brings the most people to the revival. You know, just a lot of things I have problems with. But there is one good excuse for everything that I might gain them. Now, when I was a youngster, I played baseball for church teams, and you had to go to Sunday school two times a month in order to stay active and play on the team. And I criticized that one time, and one of my older friends said, "That's how I got saved. I couldn't play ball." Hey, what is the greatest gift you can possibly have? What is the greatest thing you can possibly give? Salvation. Is there anything to compare to it? If you never get your way again, if nobody makes you happy again, if you're sick every day the rest of your life, if you're saved, you still ought to get up praising God. You're going to a wonderful place in eternity. Not like the rest of the world. Think the privilege that you have. Wow. He said, "I'll take all these people." And he said, not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. I don't believe he ever compromised by sin. But he could meet with anybody. He could go to anybody's home. You know, lots of Jews couldn't go to anybody's home. Paul could go to anybody's home to win them. He'd go to their parties. He can go to their celebrations, their wedding celebrations. He probably went to some other stuff that was religious. I think he didn't go as far as I would consider really compromising his testimony. He might have offended some Jews. When he went to the ones that weren't the Jews, he might have offended some of them that were Gentiles when he went to a Jewish celebration. I know he offended a whole lot of people when he went in to cleanse himself in the temple after he'd been preaching for years. But you want to get cleansed with him? Yeah, I'll go and get cleansed with him. It caused a stir, man. But here's his reasoning. That's pretty good reasoning, you understand? Do you have that kind of reasoning anywhere in you? What would you do to win a soul? He told you what he'd do. We have the testimony of his life. We know what he did. Good night. Some people think Paul didn't even sin. But they're mistaken. I know they love Paul. I love Paul too, but I see some mistakes in Paul as far as I'm concerned. I got to have something to criticize him with, just make him human. But you know something? He had a burden for souls. Have you ever read what he said in Romans? "I could wish myself accursed for my brethren, the Jews." I can't do that. Have you thought about that? I can't do that. No way I'd want myself accursed to get you saved. Or anybody I don't know. To me, the greatest thing that's ever happened to me is I got saved. I'm going to heaven. I don't know why. I don't understand God's reasoning. I can't figure it all out. I know what the Bible says, and I believe what the Bible says. That's just the way I do things. I believe the Bible. And I mean by that, this Bible. I don't want you correcting it, because I don't think you're smart enough to. "I made all things to all men, that I by all means save all? No. Paul knew it was just going to be some. You're not going to win all. All your family is not going to get saved. All your grandchildren are not going to get saved. All your relatives are not going to get saved. All your neighbors are not going to get saved. No matter what you do, no matter how you spread the gospel, no matter how many gospel tracts you pay for and print and put out, no matter how much money you support missionaries with, all of the Mexicans are not going to get saved, and all the San Antonians are not going to get saved, and all the Poland's not going to get saved. What are you trying to do? Save some. That's all you can do. You can save some. And by the way, the Bible says a soul is worth more than all the world. The world's pretty rich. There's an awful lot in the world. You win one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have gained more than Bill Gates or Buffett or Solomon. Souls are important. Now, sometimes in the church, everything here is not to win souls. We're teaching Christians. We're protecting Christians. We're growing up Christians. We're telling you to avoid certain things, and we don't want you to dress this way. We're trying to maintain a testimony. It's not the only thing here is not to save souls, but that's something for you. You ought to want to save souls. We ought to also maintain our testimony. Now, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of thereof with you. He said, man, do you know the reason why I make myself servant of all? That I might win some? I want to be in on the winning. I want to be in on the gospel. Paul even tells Timothy, I know you're a pastor and you got all these things you got to do, but don't forget evangelism. Do the work of an evangelist. While you're doing all this other, do the work of an evangelist. What's an evangelist? Somebody that preaches the gospel. That's evangelism. Verse 24. Know ye not? Now, when Paul says that, and he says it quite a few times, it's something you ought to know. It's something you ought to know. Every time you find that "know ye not" in Paul, you look and see what he's talking about. With the shallow teaching and the shallow Bible reading of our generation, you could go to many churches of what we'd even call evangelical churches, and you'll find people that don't know basic doctrine. That's the truth. I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth. You ought to know some things. And your pastors ought to teach you some things. They ought to stand for some things. Know ye not? Here's something everybody knows. Do you know this? Everybody runs a race and only one wins. Man, the world is looking at soccer right now. Or maybe they just finished, I don't know. I don't care about soccer. Sorry, if you're a soccer player. I went to my daughter's soccer games too, but I never did understand it. And I was an athlete all my life. But I am confused. How they get offsides in that game is beyond me. When they call their cards on these people. Now, if I see him hit him or drag him down or hold him by the arm, tackle him, well, yeah, I can see that as a foul, but whoo! I don't know anything about that. But you know what? Old Lance Armstrong, that old atheist, he's headed out in that big race over in Europe. Again. Now, how many hundred bicyclers are going to be in that race? There's a bunch. You look at them, they're crowded, man. They're crowded. And what have they been doing all year? They've been riding a bicycle every day of their life. They're riding it for miles. I thought I did real well when I got my bicycle. It was an American bike, not with the gears. I got to where I could ride a mile in 4 minutes and keep it up. Oh, I felt like I was good. They're riding a mile in 2 minutes and keeping it up for 110 miles. Wow. You ever run in a race? You see my legs, they're like stumps of trees. Even if I lost weight, I'd lose it right here. Praise the Lord, I need to. You can pray for me on that, but I've been praying a long time, and God said, I'm not going to answer your prayer. You got to do it. That's what it looks like to me. And I'm such a coward, I got a yellow streak down my back about a foot wide when it comes to the fork. But I was put in a race one time. I was a high jumper, actually, believe that. And my coach called me over and said, get in that 100-yard dash. I need somebody in. I said, I don't run a 100-yard dash. He said, I said, get in there and run that 100-yard dash. Yes, sir. I come out third of eight. I shocked myself. I'm not a runner. Man, I had to learn how to fight because I could not run anybody. They come after me. It didn't do me much good to run. They'd get me in the back. Did you know? Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? They all run the race. But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. What's Paul saying? Get in the race. Get in the work. Get in the gospel. Get in the preaching. Get in the supporting. Get in the giving. Give up some of your things. I've known people to sell their new cars to give the money to missions. I knew someone that sold, when we built that first building over there, someone sold their nice new car and bought them a junker so they could give as much as everybody else was giving to the building. That was a kid. Get in. Get in the race. You're not in the race? You're just sitting around vegetating? You're just sitting around, you don't have anything to pray about? You're bored to death. You're depressed. Why don't you start praying? Get in the race some way. If you can't pass out tracts and you can't preach on the streets, and most of you can't preach on the streets, I know that. Most of you can't preach in here where your friends are. You can pass out tracts. You can give money. You could pray. Oh, but praying's so boring. I don't know what it's going to answer. You're supposed to have faith. Prayer doesn't do anybody any good, doesn't it? And let me tell you something. I'm not preaching on it today. But faith is the only way you get anything from God. You think you want to ask God for something? You better have some faith. Know ye not that they which run in a race, they all run, one receiveth a prize. So run that you may obtain. Would you like to get a prize when you get to heaven? Now you don't deserve one. I don't deserve one. Nobody down here saved by the grace of God deserves one, but we have a very merciful God. My, how generous is our God. Run. Get in on it. Run that you may obtain. Get in the business of getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Whatever part you want to do that. Now, you might do CDs. It's a great ministry. Got a couple of brothers that they just love. That's a burden that they have. God gave them a burden. Came around here and saw these things, and all of a sudden, boom, it popped up in their head and said, I can do this. Well, that's a ministry. They're in the running. They're putting their own money in it. They're putting their own time in it. They're distributing out. It's doing good. People are getting saved. Christians are getting blessed. You may have a particular ministry. We don't have a visitation program. We don't have certain ministries that we want people to. We don't do a lot of men things, women things. Most everything here is family. But there's something else. We allow you to get into the work in whatever way you can. I think that's a blessing. Maybe you're not the preacher. Maybe you'll never be called a pastor. Maybe we'll never ask you to teach the adult class. What can you do? What can you do? Well, you can be a blessing on Sunday night or Wednesday night. You can pass out tracts. You can pray. You can give some money. You could at least tithe. A shoeshine boy can tie it. Get in the race. Hey, he said, run that you may obtain. You remember the story that Jesus gave us about the pounds? He gave 110, 15, and 11. And the one with 10 went out and gained 10 more. The one with 5 went out and gained 5 more. And the one with 1 said, man, I got a hard taskmaster. I don't want to mess with this. I'm going to bury it so he'll have it when he gets back. And when God got back, he took it away from him. He doesn't want your talents buried. He does not want your abilities buried. He does not want your testimony buried. He made you peculiar. You're an individual and nobody like you in the rest of the world. Never was, never will be. All the new ones that come, all those children that come out of you and your wife, they're all going to be different, every one of them. You'd think they're raised the same way, under the same rules, with the same parents and a solid family. They are all different. They all get... After I had 2 or 3, I thought I knew what I was doing. And then they come along and they'll slip it to you gently in another way. You'll have to learn something new because every single one of them is different. You have a ministry. You have something you can do. Maybe it's not going to be bragged on by everybody. Maybe it's not going to be received by everybody, but you have a ministry you can do where you can spend your money, you can spend your time, you can spend your prayers on your ministry. Get in the race. Don't you know if you don't run, you don't win? There's another thing different about this. In that big bicycle race, only one's going to win. But in this race, everybody can win. It's a little different. If you just get in the race and run, you get in the race and finish the race, you're going to win. We're not talking about just salvation. If you're saved, you got to be saved to get in the race. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about there are rewards, there are blessings. And if you will get in the race, but what's going to happen if you sit aside and don't get in the race? You're going to come up losing. You will lose. Christian, you can lose. You can even lose inheritance. You can lose blessings in this life. What if God didn't bless you? You look around, are there any homeless people? Are there any people that used to be business owners that are down at the rescue mission last night? I'll bet you. Any good promising college kids go into Vietnam? Fighting Vietnam, get their brain all messed up. They're down at that rescue mission. Get in the race. There's a race to be run, and you can win it if you'll stay in the race. Whatever you can do. You don't have to do what I do. You don't have to do what your neighbor does. There are so many ways to do the work of God. That's just the truth. You pray about it and do what you can do, whatever it is. Now notice what he says. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Gold medals. Yeah, man, I've got 7 gold medals. I'm the greatest athlete that ever went into the Olympics. Wow, I'm something else. They won't know your name in 2 or 3 years. Most people would ignore you and look at the new one coming on. Look at these farmer football players that are caught selling drugs, that are caught breaking into stores, that are caught... These people had money. They had fame. Amazing. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. We do it to gain an incorruptible crown. Now first of all, corruptible and incorruptible, that ought to be simple to anybody. Corruptible means it will fade away. And by the way, gold and silver is going to burn. Yeah, when God decides to burn this, they ain't going to burn all the gold too. And by the way, rich as you are, there were a lot of rich men that jumped off of buildings back in 1929. They were rich. By standards, there was one guy jumped out of about a 30-story building and he only had $2 million left. He only had $2 million left. And you say, oh, if I just had $1 million, I'd make it. Nah, you wouldn't make it. You'd spend it in the first year. Then you'd be broke out and get in the soup kitchen. I don't know how many people get blessed by these things. But, you know, it's a corruptible crown. It's all going to pass away. Everything you've got, your marriage is going to pass away. Your lover is going to pass away. Your health is going to pass away. Your happiness is going to pass away. Your things are going to pass away. Your wife's going to pass away. Your husband's going to pass away. Your kids are going to pass away. You're going to be disappointed in this life. Do you know that? They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. And too many times, we spend our time looking for corruptible things. Hey, guns. I like guns. I will own too many guns. I just love to shoot them. I just love them. I think they're a tremendous thing. Now, you may hate me for that, but I'm not a member of the National Rifle Association, but I sort of like them. I'm real right-wing. You know what those guns are? They're toys. It's like, ladies, you got this crystal in a nice, beautiful cabinet, and you shine it up so that everybody that comes to your house can see your beautiful crystal. And I've had people, when I was in their house, this was a man, by the way, showing me his crystal. And I said, well, I could sell that and support a few missionaries. He was offended that I didn't appreciate his crystal. It was beautiful. What's it for? You can't drink anything out of it. They won't let you touch it. The kids can't play with it. It's a toy. It's burnable. It's flammable. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Do you think about that incorruptible crown? You ought to ever so often. You ought to just get reminded, I am working for an incorruptible crown. One that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Now he says in verse 26, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Did you know they had shadow boxing in Paul's day? What he's talking about. You know how a guy learns to box? Well, he gets in front of a mirror and he learns to hit things. He has a little speed bag up here and he learns to be able to do that thing really good. And then he has a great big heavy bag. But he goes and hits and gets himself strength and whatever. He doesn't have to get in with a guy at the first. He shadowboxed. He said, looky here. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I hit somebody. Don't just think about hitting somebody. Actually, hit somebody. Give them the gospel, man. Give them the word of God. Let them have it. And if they don't like it, well, so be it. Amen? Boy, you're a quiet bunch. I must be really mean today. I don't know. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, that by if any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When I got saved, I quit smoking and I quit drinking because, not because I thought either one of them was wrong. I did not have that idea in my mind. But because I thought I couldn't go to an alcoholic or a drug addict and tell him God could deliver him from his alcoholism or his drug addiction. And he'd say, well, can't he deliver you from smoking? And can't he deliver you from drinking? I personally believe they're wrong now, and I'm very glad. I'm very glad my biggest problem is food. Physical problem. I got some mental problems you don't know anything about. But my biggest problem is food down here, and I can't control that. I haven't controlled the fart. But you know what? I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. And I don't have the black lung. Quit smoking. What's that doing? Discipline. For 3 months, I thought I was going to die. I quit cold turkey smoking. My buddies at the base would blow it in my face. They'd offer me packs. They didn't want me to quit. But you know, like I said, I'm a little thick-hided. And when you try to keep me from doing something, I'm just about going to do it. Castaway. I want to say something about this before I quit. This is a verse many people use to try to prove that if Paul could lose his salvation, then you can. Has nothing to do with Paul's salvation. You can find that in 100 other verses. He's saying, when I have preached to others that I might be set aside by God and not used anymore. Like a Demas. We're not talking about salvation. Well, I gotta quit. I'm having so much fun. I love the sound of my own voice. That's the way preachers are. Some of you love to hear yourself and the rest of us can't stand you for 5 minutes.